what is BrainSwarm and how does it work?
All right. So the idea is how we can interface the human brain with multiple robots. There has been a lot of work during the past probably 20 years on how the human brain can be interfaced and be used for controlling a single robot, for example, a prosthetic arm, a prosthetic limb. But only the last 6 or 7 years, we have been start thinking about how the brain can be used for controlling multiple robots at the same time. And when we say multiple robots, we're talking about tens or even hundreds of small or big robots that collaborate as a biological swarm. So you can think about swarm of bees or a flock of fish and how they collaborate to achieve a bigger task. So the idea, again, is how you can use signals that you can measure from the brain in order to control those robots. So we first started about 7 years ago on how to use electrical signals that we can measure from the brain using non-invasive electrodes to control those robots. And for the past 6 or 7 years, we have shown that you can actually extract variables from those electrical signals that you measure from the human brain in order to control multiple robots at the same time.
There's so much we don't know about our own brains. We don't know what our next thought's going to be. How does it work that you could use a human thought or a signal from the brain and then relay it to a robot?
Exactly. So the idea is that the brain is wired to control our body is wired to control our fingers or our limbs in general, our organs. The brains are not really wired to control 100 drones at the same time. So the idea is how you can make the human brain adapt to control something that is non-anthropomorphic, that's non-human-like, and be able to generate those new signals and those new patterns of signals throughout its surface in order to be able to control them. So there is a mutual adaptation between the human and the machine. The human brain is not really wired to control 1,000 robots at the same time. But if you give the correct feedback to the user, the brain will be able to adapt to that and generate signals and patterns of signals that you can measure and you can use to control 100 or 1,000 robots. So I guess the big innovation there is that we don't use a specific area of the brain. We use multiple areas at the same time, and we let the brain and the human adapt to their task, which is controlling multiple robots at the same time. Then once that mutual learning between the machine and the human brain is done, we can actually use those patterns of signals to control as many devices as we can.
So how far along are you in your research and what is ultimately the goal?
Yeah, so what we have demonstrated a few years ago was how a human can control multiple robots at the same time using both a joystick and the brain. So we have joystick for controlling the direction of the swarm because this is the most accurate way of doing this. And then we had the human brain at the same time output some signals that we will be using for controlling the what we call the cohesion or the density of the swarm. So how close or how far apart those robotic agents are. So this is only essentially one degree of freedom, one degree of motion that you can get from the brain to the swarm. And what we have been trying to do is extend this to multiple degrees of freedom. So what I'm thinking in the future, you will be able to still have a joystick or a keyboard or a mouse to control the direction and the motion of the overall swarm. But then you will be attached to some non-invasive electrodes that will be used to extract patterns of signals from the brain to control, for example, the density or the formation or the shape that this whole swarm will take around an obstacle or another object. So extending to more degrees of freedom and more capabilities is one of our future goals. The second one is, of course, to make the system more adapted to different humans. And now there's a learning period for each human. So you should spend about 30 minutes to essentially learn how to control the system. But what we want to do is to make that even faster, that learning period even faster, and be able to adapt to and learn different humans and multiple humans so that the interface is much more direct and much more intuitive to multiple humans.
You mentioned the non-invasive electrodes. I'm looking online. It has the sort of like a swim cap you wear on your head with all the electrodes. How do you see this technology being applied? I know there's some interest from government agencies like NASA and the Department of Defense. What do you see this being used for?
Yeah. So the electrodes that we are using are EEG electrodes, electroencephalographic electrodes. These are non-invasive electrodes that go over your skull, and essentially they pick the electrical signals from the brain. What we are using is, of course, research-based. We're using many electrodes, up to 128 all over your head. But if you think in the future, there are now even headsets that you can buy for $500 with only 10 or 12 electrodes in different areas of the brain. So we're trying to simplify our technology so that even those cheap headsets that you can buy and wear, and they are really comfortable, can be used for this kind of applications. Now, I'm thinking applications, of course, this project was funded by Department of Defense, but these are not only military applications. These are search and rescue, surveillance, even space applications. NASA is also interested in sending, instead of sending a big, expensive rover in a different planet, they can send, 100 or 1,000 small, inexpensive robots that can do much more things, many more things than, what the rover can do, and still be inexpensive and still be robust. So, if you lose half of your agents, half of your robots, you're still going to be able to accomplish your mission. So ways to interface and interact with those hundreds of small robots in applications that have to do with search and rescue and discovery of different areas that are non-accessible by humans, those are the kind of applications that I'm thinking in the future where this interface could be really useful.
Tell me about your space at the Spencer Lab there at UD. What are you and all your students working on? You see the videos online from like Boston Dynamics with the robots doing flips and dodging different obstacles. Is that the kind of work you guys are doing day to day?
Well, yeah, the Boston Dynamics videos have to do with legged robots. We don't do a lot with legged robots. We do, half of my lab is working on this brain swarm interface. We have been thinking applications of how you can interface the brain with not a robot or multiple robots, but with, for example, your semi-autonomous or fully autonomous car in the future, where you need to have that interaction interface with a car. So this is almost half of my lab. The other half has to do with now solving almost the inverse problem, how you can rehabilitate and provide therapy to the brain when there's a stroke, for example. And we have been using robotics, robotic treadmills, robotic instruments, and also prosthetic devices to try to promote rehabilitation, robot-assisted rehabilitation, with applications to stroke, and we do a lot of work with lower limb prosthesis as well. So the idea is how you can use the brain to control the robots, but also how you can use the robots to provide therapy to the brain when something is wrong.